Welcome to The Disappearing Mind, a unique podcast helping you find clarity and support along your dementia journey. Now, join National Dementia Trainer and Coach, Dawn Platt, for an all-new episode.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. My name is Dawn Platt. Today, we are going to have a discussion that really has brought me back to several conversations that I've had with families and friends in coaching sessions where I have had very personal conversations with people and conversations that sometimes I have with myself. And today I'm going to read something to you that I actually wrote to someone, and I'm going to share some thoughts with you because I feel like the reason perhaps that I'm always talking about coping or emotions is that's really the biggest part and a huge part of certainly family caregiving, not so much professional caregiving, but being balanced emotionally and giving yourself a break is something that I always talk about. Finding time in your own life to do things that bring you pleasure, that are rewarding to you, are really important. So let's get started in today's topic, balancing life and caregiving for a parent with dementia. Again, I want to just say to you that there are a number of times I've had this exact conversation. And so today I want to make it your and my conversation as I go through what I have written to really a personal friend. I think that your approach to care and coping ability is going to depend on the history and relationship that you have had with your parent growing up. This is really important because I know that many people have been close to their parents, their mother or their father, or maybe closer to their dad or their mom, whichever the case might be. But when it comes to caregiving and especially dementia, because there are so many stages and so many things that can happen where your parent is doing something or says something that really isn't them. And you know that in your heart, but that relationship that you had growing up is going to be impactful. It's going to come up. I need you to know that and understand and just begin to deal with that. What was your upbringing like? Because how you were brought up, the birth order in your family, even the number of siblings that you have really make a difference. And the additional tip is, what was the culture of your family? And what I mean by that is, how were things done? What was the spiritual culture? What was the national culture? Were there norms there that in your heritage that you are expected or you grew up expecting that you would carry out? These things are impactful as we are caregiving for a loved one who has dementia. How you viewed your parent? Did you have that loving relationship? Were they nurturing, such as my mom? My mom was a very caring person. She was a very nurturing mom. She took care of everybody. She was the mom's mom. How did she care for me? You may be in that same boat. You may have those feelings that mom took care of me, so I need to take care of mom. Were they your hero? How do you feel about them? Did you look up to them? Once you're placed in the caregiver or even decision maker role, all these earlier factors are going to be impactful in this caregiving relationship with your parents. I know that many of us in life really look at things and say things in our younger life, or we might even envision what that might look like, but dementia is different. And I think a lot of times when we were younger or when our parents were younger, they were actually dealing with a lot of this type of disease. And your circumstances may be different than when you had planned or even discussed with family how you were going to care for them. There are situations with dementia that you could have never anticipated. And I think that's important for us to discuss when we're talking about what was the culture of our family and how is our birth order and our heritage tied into caregiving, especially if we're that sandwich generation. Let's talk about that a minute. So the sandwich generation is you've grown up, you've gone to college, you've gotten married, you had children, you have a career, you're building that career, you have your own home, maybe you have grown-up children and even grandchildren. How do you balance that? What does that look like? And I think it's important not to get too overburdened with that commitment, because you now have taken on a new role and probably weren't even anticipating dementia. One of the multiple areas I want to get into is the feeling of this obligation. So for many of us, if we grew up in a fairly decent home and we had a close relationship with our parent or parents, we will deal with this feeling of obligation. Whether it's good or bad, many children feel obligation. So let me give you a personal example. I could give you other examples of people that I coach, but I'm going to give you a personal example. So I'm the decision maker. I'm the one who's been in the field for well over 30 years. Most people look to me, everybody looks to me to make caregiving decisions and be the decision maker overall because of my background. And I'm the baby of the family. So I was very close to my parents and treated like the baby. My brother and sister probably say that I got more, I was treated differently. I don't know that that's the case, but you know how families say that. But here's the thing, and here's what happened. So I have a career, I have a home, I'm married. I have two grown children, and I recently got to experience the birth of my first grandchild, a granddaughter. She was born very recently. And so with that, I'm looking ahead to her life and helping my son and daughter-in-law in that parenting role and being supportive. All at the same time, I have a career, a corporate career, as well as podcasting and many other ventures in dementia. That's a real balancing act that many of us in the sandwich generation face. How do we go through that? How do we deal with that obligation? What does that mean? Because I am in healthcare and because I deal with dementia and dementia families, I can say to you, look at your options. And you need to look at other options because you're probably not going to be able to be a full-time caregiver. You are already a full-time mother, career person, and wife. The chances of you being able to be a full-time caregiver are probably going to be rare. You got to get some support and you got to look at what is that support. And we'll get into that in just a minute. These factors like heritage and family and relationships, they are huge. Over my career, I will tell you, I've seen several cultural norms. I do see a difference in heritage, cultural heritage of families, let's say, who are more prone to respecting their elders and caring for their elders and bringing elders into their homes. So we do see that kind of thing happening. But I think that dementia has grown. It's multicultural. It's no respecter of culture. So we see a lot of things coming into play more rapidly because dementia is one of the fastest growing types of illnesses on the planet. And so we see a lot of new factors that our parents and grandparents did not face that we're seeing now, probably earlier, that we're dealing with instead of heart disease or other types of diseases. Dementia often has that behavioral side to it, or definitely the confusion or inabilities and that sort of thing. They can really vary. So that's something to take into account. But if you were that person that grew up where maybe your parents took care of their parents in their home, usually and generally someone in that home didn't work. We need to take that into account when we're looking at this situation and understand the world has changed, the disease has changed, and your life has changed. It's not the same as your parents were. So that support is going to be really something you need to think about, that obligation, that if you have that obligation and you want to do that and you're capable of doing that, by all means, I think that's fabulous. But I work with so many families that are guilt-ridden because they can't carry out that. I have seen people get sick. I have seen challenges in marriage. I've seen challenges with raising children and caregiving. That whole balance can really be an emotional roller coaster. So the decisions that we make are really very important. Chances are, if you were raised in that nurturing and caring environment, you are going to have a tendency to want to be that way. And that was my case. I want to be nurturing and I want to be caring because I was raised in that kind of environment, but not everyone can be a caregiver. Not only because they have a career or a family or other obligations, but because not everyone is capable of caregiving. I mean, we see that in families. That's something that you need to take into account with your family. Caregiving for our parents is a tough proposition. Because I'm addressing the sandwich generation here, the generation that I personally am in, I think it's important that we continue to talk about what are our options and what do we do with those feelings of obligation? Because they certainly are going to produce other feelings. Okay, they're going to produce feelings of anxiety when we can't balance life and career and caregiving. They can bring guilt, feelings of guilt. I should be able to do this for your mom or dad. And I think that that's not realistic for everyone. And again, if that is, I applaud you. But not everyone is in that situation. We often have two career households where both the husband and wife work and a lot of other things in life that keep us busy and we're not able to accomplish some of those things that we would have loved to. So how do we balance our lives, marriage, children, careers, and caregiving? Let me start by saying that you're going to make mistakes. You're going to make mistakes. I've made mistakes. You really have to look at your individual situation here and give yourself some grace. I'm always saying that, but give yourself some grace. You're going to make those mistakes. You can go back and correct things. There is no real manual on the right decision for every family and every life. You need to gather the information, educate yourself as much as possible. But at the end of the day, you're going to have to make your own decisions and what's best for your loved one and your family and personal life. Not everyone has the right answers for you. Your doctor may not have the right answers. Your doctor may not even be able to tell you exactly what type of dementia that your parent has, or maybe your parent is having a behavior and the medication they're giving you doesn't work, or they're offering a medication that's going to maintain their cognition longer, but you're really not seeing it. So your doctor doesn't always have the answer, and especially about personal caregiving and what's going on in your family and your life. Your support group and even your friends and family may not always have the answer for you. And I think that one of the things that I can't stress enough is to begin to talk about it. Talk about it with other family members. Talk about it with friends. A lot of times, even listen to podcasts like this one. You will find some solutions and answers just by listening to what other people are saying for your very own life and situation. And I think that that's important. I listen to podcasts. I listen and read and research because sometimes that just stimulates me to become creative in my own situations. So I recommend that to you. So here's the bottom line. Only you know your situation, your needs, and your own expectations. So I've talked about that before, your expectations. I think sometimes, depending on our upbringing and who we are as a person, we set some high expectations. And expectations need to be flexible in different areas of our life, and caregiving is one of them. If you expect to always do well, and you expect to always make the right decisions, and you expect that your parent is going to overcome something or get better, and it doesn't happen, you're letting yourself down. And I think that lowering your expectations and living day by day is really some great advice that I can give and take for myself. This is a day-to-day situation. And if you make the wrong decision, turn around and make the right decision. It's really important that you know and you hear that. You are important. Your life is important. And you've never been down this road before. So give yourself a break. Take a few minutes to sit down and write those things down. So let's just pause for a minute here and say your expectations. Are they realistic? I want you to take a few minutes just right now and sit down and write your expectations down and read them. Read them out loud. Share them with your spouse or friend. Are they something that you could possibly accomplish? What are those expectations? Are they realistic? Let's talk about three things that I want you to consider in your expectations. Is your situation, current and future, is it something that you need to change expectations? Let me reword that. What are your expectations for your situation now? What were they? And what about the future? Because let's face it, this is a progressive disorder. It has many phases to it. And you need to change expectation as the situation changes. The question here is your expectation meeting your current situation? If it's not, then you need to make some changes to make it work in your life. Number two, are your expectations, are they personal or family? Are they needs for your loved one? So what are your expectations for your family? What are your personal expectations for your own needs and for the needs of your loved one? Many times I find in dementia coaching that my clients have expectations for caregiving, but none for their own self, their own care, their own life, and even their family. We tend to, especially women, we tend to give much more than we tend to receive. And here's the problem with that. If you wear yourself out and you get burnt out, you're not going to be able to care for anyone. Expectation. Are your expectations right for yourself? Are they right for the one you're caring for? And are they right for your family? Do you need to adjust them? Maybe raise them up, but generally, we hold a pretty high expectation of ourselves, and we need to really deal with that. Number three, are they realistic? I've said that over and over. Are the things that you've written down, are they even realistic? And at the end of the day, how important are they? And not only the care, but in your life. If you don't accomplish that expectation, what is the result? I think that we've just set some things too high. And in doing that, we feel like a failure. We're dealing with guilt. We're not meeting the obligations that we set up for ourselves. That's not good. That's just not good for us. It's not good for our loved one. Certainly not good for our spouse and family and children. So these are the things that I want you to really take a look at. Sometimes we're our own worst enemy. Maybe there is some room for adjustments that we need to look at. Maybe your expectations shouldn't be the same as they were in the beginning or last month or next month. These are things you need to ask yourself. And our lives are not carved in stone. Life changes and real things happen in our life, and they happen in our careers and they happen in our families. And these are things that I think, especially for me, this is a point in my life having my first grandchild be born. And I know that most of you are probably way ahead of me in that, but this is the time that I really deserve to be happy. I really deserve to enjoy these moments. And so do you. But at the same time, I also want to be giving. How do I balance that without guilt and obligation? By doing the things that are important to me, important to you, it's going to bring balance in our lives. And it's something that I see that families, that clients, especially daughters and daughter-in-laws don't tend to do. I really can't stress it enough. If you're not doing the things that bring value and reward to your life, you're probably not giving out of your best mindset and balance for life. So keep that in mind as we go forward. Let's just look at a few more factors and possible steps that you may want to consider as you are looking at expectations and things I think that are going to make a difference. Financial status. Number one, you have to know the financial status of your loved one. Are there finances available? Are there not finances available? Have you consulted the family? Have you consulted an elder law attorney? With the finances, what are the options? I mean, that really is the difference. Is your family in a low income where if you're in the United States that they could apply for benefits of some kind? If not, is there enough finances there that you could hire someone to come in to take them out, someone to come in for a few hours a week, full-time caregiving? Could they choose a long-term care facility? All of those kinds of things. You've got to know what the finances are. If there's some finances and you could get a few hours of relief or an adult daycare, maybe they could go visit an adult daycare two or three times a week, get out with other people. Maybe you could hire someone to take them somewhere shopping or out to lunch or those kinds of things. Know what the financial situation is. To give yourself some relief is going to make a real difference. Resources. What are your resources? I've talked about on the podcast a lot about the Alzheimer's Association, the 24-hour hotline, but many of you are in the very early stages and you're not there yet. Are there friends? Do you have friends that you can talk to? Do you have friends that have had a family member, a loved one who've had dementia? What did they do? Can you talk through the situation with them? Is there a group, a support group in your area for a particular kind of dementia, an early onset dementia? Is there support at your church or a club or organization that you belong to? What does that look like? Are there aging services in your particular area? And what services do they offer? Is this even an option that you want to consider now or keep in your back pocket for future times when you're going to need something like that? Is there some sort of foundation or organization that provides education or speakers or even respite caregiving for people who have dementia? These are all areas that might be helpful. Maybe you have a friend who has been very close to your mother or father who'd be glad to come in for a couple hours while you go out shopping or go get your hair done or have dinner with a friend or a loved one. These things are really important. I wanted to say to you today that that feeling of obligation is something that I constantly address and something that we need to understand that sometimes our expectations can be changed and we can be our own worst enemy. So today, I hope that there's something that you've taken away from the podcast. I try and connect and make this real with you, but you're not alone. And I hope that you have found something useful to you either now or the future. Please share this with a friend who may be in need. And on this journey, make it a memorable journey and try and find joy in your day. Until next time on the podcast, this is Dawn Platt. Thank you for joining.
Thank you for joining us for the Disappearing Mind podcast. We hope it's helped you find clarity and support along your journey. Be sure to subscribe to never miss an episode, visit our website to suggest future topics, and share the podcast with friends and family.